Good morning. Delighted to see you. Thankful for our guest. I want you to come back every time you have the opportunity. I want to thank you for the way you've helped the Neely family in the last few days. Continue with that, please. Continue with that. Check on Sister Deborah and the family, and just be there for them for anything that they might need. It's good to see Brother Ronnie House with us. Brother Ronnie, you're an encouragement to me. I know some who should be here this morning who are in perfect health, but because the sun may not be shining or some other insignificant reason, they're not. You're an inspiration to me, brother. Thanks for being here. It's good to see Ovalee with us. Ovalee, fill out a visitor's card now. We're glad she's feeling better. Glad you're doing better. Glad you're able to be with us. Young people, at 5 o'clock this afternoon, meet me right over here for Kids Connection. Be working on your memory work, those kind of things. And then you'll have a class this week, this evening. The class is on from Acts chapter 6. Let's see. A, B, C, D, E, F. What's it about? F. First. Deacons. Ask Deacon. Where is Deacon? Is that right? Ask him. Ask Deacon. It's going to be about the first deacon, so you be studying that. And parents, you be reading it too. Read Acts chapter 6, the entire chapter. Read Acts chapter 6, but we'll probably just get to focus in on just that first section. But it'll be good for you. Read it all, and then we'll study some things from the same thing our kids are studying. And we'll be right out here in the auditorium. I want you to find in your Bible Daniel chapter 3. We're going to sit down on that, and we're going to just look at it. But as we do, and as you're finding that, I'm just share some things with you that you'll remember. In August of 2000, a submarine, a Russian submarine, Rusk, went missing. Later, it was determined that 23 of those Russian sailors had managed to get in a little airtight compartment. And for the next 21 days, they survived. Total darkness. For a little while, one of the soldiers had a watch that he could push the button and it would illuminate the dial. And they would have that much light. But soon, using it went dead. And in that darkness, they began to write letters. One of those letters was written by Dmitry Kolosnikov. Some of them were too personal. They've never been released. They were to family. The family released a few of them. Others were political, and the Russian government has never released those. But the little bit that the family released, his wife, Olga, released, and in that part, there were two words. He says, I'm writing this in darkness. Don't despair. Don't despair. In 1985, in July of 1985, a Japanese airliner took off from Tokyo, Japan, and 12 minutes into the flight, there was an explosion in the rear of the plane, which caused the plane to decompress. The oxygen mask dropped down. They began to have to breathe with the oxygen mask. It knocked out the controls of the plane, and the pilot struggled with it and tried to turn around, and for the next 32 minutes tried to guide that plane back in to the airport in Tokyo. Crashed just 2 miles into a mountain, just 2 miles from the airport. 32 minutes, those people knew they were going to die. They began to write letters, and those letters have been released. Letters to family members, letters just saying what they were thinking, those kind of things. July 13th, 1985. From 1941 until 1944, the Nazis occupied Warsaw, Poland. They were determined to exterminate the Jews. They rounded up many, many others hid. And during that period of time, as the Jews were identified, they were arrested. Some would just disappear. Family never knew what happened. They just disappeared. And those, many of them became convinced the same fate was to happen to every one of them. And so they began to write letters and fold them up and stick them into the crevices where the mortar of the buildings had been chipped away, and to stick those letters inside the crevices, hoping that someday someone besides the Nazis would find those letters. And they were. Here's what I want you to understand. At that moment of death, at the time of death, all those toys that we've been chasing after all our lives are not going to matter. The job, the money, the houses, the cars, the success, the prestige, all of those things we were jealous about somebody else over, I'll guarantee you, are not going to matter. All that is going to matter is what you believe. That's all that's going to matter. What did I do? I believe. This morning I want us to look at three boys who they understood we're facing death. There's not any wonder about it. It's going to occur. We're facing death. Now, before we ever get into this, I want you to understand that these boys were young. These were young men. They had the rest of their lives ahead of them. They were already somewhat successful. I mean, they had a good life laid out for them. They had everything this world had to offer to lose. And yet, they chose death. They chose death. Now, we're just going to start, and we're just going to read through this, and I'll make a few comments as we go along. But I want you to put yourself in that position. They know they're facing death. Begin with me in verse 14. Daniel chapter 3. Verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not you serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I've set up?" You know, Nebuchadnezzar understood something. Everybody has a god. Everybody has a god. A mathematician long, long ago, a mathematician says there's a hole in every soul. And nothing can fill that hole but God. Everyone worships something. Everyone serves some god. Everyone does. Listen to him again. Listen to him. He said, "Do you not serve my gods?" He couldn't imagine it. Everybody serves some god, and here you are in my country. I'm the king. I determine who the gods are. Don't you serve my gods? And I've set up this golden image out on here on this plain. I've given instructions. Bow down and worship it. Don't you worship the image, the golden image which I have set up? By the way, that's what has to be done when you don't serve the God. When you make up your own gods, you set them up. Don't you do this? It was beyond thinking. Everybody does this. Hey, same thing goes on in our world today. Well, everybody worships their job. I mean, you got to have a job, don't you? You got to have a job. And job comes before God, doesn't it? Now, that's the way the world thinks, isn't it? Now, job comes before God. In other words, you got a big God job, and you got your little God that you believe in. Well, family comes before God. They'd never admit it. They'd never say that, oh, I want my family. I want my family serving God. Just let a holiday show up on your calendar and see how many of them believe that. Watch them. How many of them believe that? Oh, no. Family is more important than God. We gotta work. We've got to have these. When you serve any God besides thee, God, you're the one that sets them up. You're the one that sets them up. Do you not worship the golden image which I set up? They're gods. They're gods. And you're setting up an image for them? Looks like the gods take care of that, doesn't it? Verse 15, now if you be ready. At that moment that you hear the sound of the cornet, the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sanbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Good. That'll be good. Everything will be fine. Everything will be fine. But, by the way, that's the way it is in our world today, right? If we'll worship the gods they've set up for us, everything will be fine. You won't be persecuted. You won't have difficulty. They'll reward you with they'll dole you out a little money along. They'll sign you a check. You just worship our gods. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for you. But if you worship not, and that's the truth there too. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Thomas said to us this morning in class, you know, if it's said once, it's important. If it's said twice, if it's repeated, that's extremely important. The Holy Spirit must want us to understand the nature of this punishment, the nature of this that these guys are going to experience. In the translation I'm reading from, the King James Version, I don't know, I could have missed one, but I counted five times that the Holy Spirit said to me, it was a burning, fiery furnace. Don't misunderstand that, David. It was a burning, fiery furnace. That's what stood in front of these boys. That's what they were facing if they didn't worship the God that someone else had set up. You'll be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now get the nature of that question. I want you to worship my God, but who's going to be doing the punishing? Well, it wouldn't be my God, because that's just an image anyway, right? It wouldn't be my God. That's just a chunk of gold. Who'll deliver you? What God can deliver you out of my hands? By the way, he's fixed to get the answer to that question, isn't he? What God shall be able to deliver you out of my all-powerful hand? Shadrach, we're in verse 16 now. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. The NIV, I think, renders it like this. It's not necessary for us to defend ourselves before you. Isn't that the truth? It's not necessary. If we choose to serve our God, it's not necessary for us to defend ourselves before the world. It's kind of like in Acts chapter 5, when the apostles had been brought before the Sanhedrin, and they said, we told you don't speak anymore in this name. We ought to obey God rather than man. Decision made. We ought to obey God rather than man. It's not necessary for us to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. There's your answer. He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, if he chooses not to do so. But if not, be it known to thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. Settled. We will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you've set up. You said it right, king. You set it up. We will not serve the golden image which thou hast set up. We're down to verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Everything changes now. Up until this point, Nebuchadnezzar had been kind of dealing with velvet gloves. You know, you're not worshiping my gods? You're not bowing down to the image that I set up? That's unbelievable. Hey, I tell you what, we're going to play on those instruments again. And if you do it, it'll be good. Oh, there's another side to it. If you don't, there's a burning fiery furnace. But he's playing soft with them. But all of that changes now. Now he's full of fury. The way his very appearance changes. Have you ever seen anyone become so angry that there was no doubt about it? His very image changes. The form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now think about it, folks. Think about it. Therefore he spake, and he commanded that the heat of the furnace won seven times more than it ought to have been heated, than it was wont to be heated. That's overkill, isn't it? He's making a point. Hey, you guys, you're going to be an example to everybody else. Seven times more than it should have been heated. And he commanded, not just anybody, he commanded his most mighty men. This is on display. He commands his most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. What would have taken for Shadrach? At this moment in time, they're not in that furnace yet. What would it have taken? One word. Okay. That's all it would have taken. One word. Okay. Changed my mind. I didn't know you were that serious, king. Changed my mind. Okay. One word could have changed the whole course of history in these boys' lives. Just one word. Okay. Where was I at? I think I was in verse number 21. We ready? 21? Is that where y'all find me? Hope so. That's where I'm going to go anyway. The Holy Spirit wants us to know some other things. Look at the detail. Then these men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, then these men were bound. They're bound, folks. They're bound. Got it? You're going to need that in a few minutes. They were bound in their coats. You're going to need that. In their hosen. You're going to need that. and their hats and their garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now let your mind imagine. Now they're in the furnace. Now they're in the furnace. Can you imagine? What did you expect? Today, if you were cast into a burning, fiery furnace, what would you expect? Would you expect to feel some pain? Would you expect to feel the heat as you took a breath, maybe your last breath, no doubt your last breath, and you breathe it in, and can you feel it? These guys are in the furnace now. I don't know, I try to imagine. What would it have been like in that moment, in that instant, what would it have been like to think, okay, this is it, and there's no pain. There is no, I'm dead. There is none of that. You know, maybe Shadrach realizes, he says, wait a minute. Abednego, you okay? I'm okay. I'm all right. How about you? I'm fine. Meshach, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay. Therefore, the Holy Spirit wants us to know some things. Verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Did it kill other men? Yes. It's a burning, fiery furnace. Listen, folks, the men who took them up there to throw them in were killed. Should these men, by all rights, have died? Yeah. Yeah. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound. I told you we were going to need that. Bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. Yeah. Astonished at what? Watch. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and he rose up in haste. And he spake, and he said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He, Nebuchadnezzar, answered and said, lo, I see four men walking in the midst of the fire. They're not dead. They're walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. They're not even harmed. Here it is. And the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God. There's a fourth man in the furnace with them. There's a fourth man there. Who is that fourth man? I'm not going to tell you I have the answer. Some say it's an angel. Nebuchadnezzar calls him an angel in verse number 28. If you want to read ahead a little bit. Nebuchadnezzar calls him an angel, but can you trust Nebuchadnezzar? I don't know. Others have said he is the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Maybe. But there's a fourth man in the fire. What an experience. And he's like the Son of God. Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you servants of the Most High God. Wait a minute. Just a few minutes ago, you were saying, don't you serve my gods? Now who does he say they serve? The Most High God. You servants of the Most High. He's had his question answered, hadn't he? What was his question? And what God can deliver you out of my hands? You servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. The Holy Spirit wants us to know some things. There are people who saw this. This is not some fictional story that's been made up in the minds of someone. There were people who saw this. Did Nebuchadnezzar see it? Yes. How about anyone else? Yeah, and the princes, the governors, the captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, look, saw these men. They saw these men upon whose, and look, notice the details, upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Isn't that cool? Their bodies, the fire had no power. Nor was a hair of their head singed. Neither was their coats changed. You'd expect that polyester leisure suit to have melted, wouldn't you? Neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed upon them. Then, verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants. There's no doubt about who they're serving now, is there? Are they serving the God of the world and the culture they're living in? No, they're servants of their God. If the world looked at me, if the world looked at you, what God would they say? I know what God you serve. I know what God you serve. Hopefully, they'd say, they serve. They are servants of the Most High God. Look, notice what he says. I'm 28 now. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who hath sent his angel, delivered his servants that trusted in him. That they just trusted God. They trusted in him and have changed the king's words. Some translations render it, they defied the king's words. And that's exactly what they did. They defied the king and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Nebuchadnezzar speaking these words. Therefore, 29, therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after that sort. Now, I'm not sure Nebuchadnezzar was a totally changed man right here, because Daniel chapter 3 is followed by Daniel chapter 4. And I'm going to let you read that chapter. I'm not sure he's a follower of the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego yet. But did he ever speak a more clearer and a more truthful truth than these words right here? There is no other God. Can yours, Nebuchadnezzar? There is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Can yours, Nebuchadnezzar? No, there's no other God. There is no other God. Which God do you want to serve? The God who can't do anything for you, or the God who can do everything for you? To me, folks, that's a no-brainer. What do you think? That's a no-brainer. There is no other God who can deliver after this sort. I want to make a few observations and we're through. We've just looked at it. But I would have you to notice this truth, that God delivered them in the furnace, not from the furnace. You get it? God delivered them in the furnace, not from the furnace. He could have delivered them from the furnace, couldn't he? He could have, but he chose to deliver them in the furnace. You know, I think we forget that. There's so many times we live our lives with a furnace avoidance syndrome. Okay, I made that up. But we live with the furnace avoidance syndrome. Anything to keep from suffering. Anything. Anything to keep from suffering. You mean, unless I worship that God you set up, I'm going to suffer? Okay, I want to avoid the furnace, so I go along. I go along. But folks, he delivered them in the furnace, not from it, in it. It's like Paul. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, you know, he's defending his apostleship, and he's defending himself from accusations that have obviously been made about the kind of person that he was and those kind of things. And he says, you know, and in doing that, he's had to boast about revelations he's received and those kind of things. And he says, and then he goes back. It's as if he falls back and he says, I wish I hadn't had to do that kind of boasting here. I wish I hadn't had to do it in defense of myself. But let me remind you, he says, that lest I be puffed up because of all these revelations, a thorn in the flesh was sent to me, a messenger of Satan. Three times I prayed, let this go away. Let it go. God said, though, my grace is sufficient unto you. And Paul said, you know, he's right. It's when I'm weak that I'm most strong, because it's when I'm weak, I'm truly trusting in God. If we avoid all the furnaces that ever come in our lives, if we just cave in and just go with the world in order to avoid the furnaces in our lives, we will never be trusting in God, folks. We'll never be. They'll just keep putting another, image out there and saying, hey, it's that or a furnace. That's the way the world works. We need to remember, God delivered them in the furnace, in the toughness, in the difficulty. That's when he delivered them. There's something else. This furnace turned out to be the greatest event in these men's lives. I mean, what was the rest of their lives like? You know, this is the last time you're going to read about them. They'll not be mentioned again in Scripture. I've often wondered, when they were in that fiery furnace and the fourth man was there, did the fourth man say anything to them? We don't know, do we? But if the fourth man was speaking to them, did he come with a message from God? Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your determination to serve no other God but me. Thank you. This became the defining event in their life. What is it? It's a furnace. It's a burning, fiery furnace. We think the defining events in our lives are going to be those great things that happen to us, like successful events, happiness, all of those kind of things. Not for these boys. For these boys, it was a burning, fiery furnace. And many times that's going to be true for you and I. that when the that when people think about us, they're going to remember the tough times, the difficult times, and how they behaved themselves, how they conducted themselves, and how they stayed faithful. Right on through it. Right on through it. You know, what was the rest of their lives like? We don't know. Do you think they might have ever got together, you know, once a year on the anniversary of this? We would, wouldn't we? On the anniversary of this date, you know, to discuss it. You remember what it was like? I was scared to death. That king said, it'll be okay if you just bow down. But I knew what he was going to say. I knew what he was going to say as soon as I said, I don't need to defend myself in front of you, King. I'm staying with God. I knew what he's going to say. Did you see his face when we said that? Did you see the look on his face? Did you see how angry he was at us? How upset he was. He fired that furnace up 7 times hotter than it should have been. Do you remember when they carried us and threw us into that furnace? I thought it was over. I did. I thought it was over. I knew God could deliver us, but I wasn't sure he would. I just knew I'm staying with God. I'm staying with God. Do you remember? We went into the furnace and we came out of the furnace, and the only thing different was we were free. We were bound going in and free coming out. Do you think they ever thought about how close they came to missing this important event in their lives? I mean, it only took one word, right? Okay. Okay. If they had have said okay, we wouldn't be talking about this today, would we? They came that close to missing it. All they had to say, okay. If they got together, and if they discussed it, I think they would have said, I'm so glad we went through that furnace. Greatest thing to ever happen in my life. I am so happy I didn't say, okay, King. Okay. Johnny Cash wrote a poem about this, made a song out of it, and it wasn't Burning Ring of Fire either. Part of it went like this. They wouldn't bend. They held on to the will of God, so we're told. They wouldn't bow their knees to the idols made of gold. They wouldn't burn. They were protected by the fourth man in the fire. They wouldn't bend. They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't burn. How about you? How about me? Now here we are. We're at our moment of death. You say, oh, come on, David. You don't know that. You're exactly right. I don't know, and neither do you. And neither do you. It could be right now. I am one heartbeat, folks. I am one heartbeat from eternity. And so are you. I am one stroke. Do you like the new highway? I'm one accident from eternity. We're at the point of our death. We're at that moment of death for us. And all you're left with is what you believe. That's all you're left with. What would you write? What would you write? You're one of those 23 men in that submarine. What would you write? You're one of those 538 people on that Japanese airliner. By the way, 4 survived it. All others were killed. What would you write? What would you write? You're one of those that they're coming for. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. They're coming for us. What would you write? What would you write? I'll not bend. I'll not bow. I'll not burn. I pray to God that that's what could be said of us. That we'd be like those three men. We serve our God. And the only God that can deliver us, right? The only God that can deliver us. And so we just keep hanging on and hanging on. So I want you to have a great week. I want you to think about. And as those things come, and some will come this week, as those things come, am I going to bow? Because you are going to bow to some God. You're going to either bow to a God with a little g, or you're going to bow to the God of all the universe. Who are you going to stick with? Who are you going to stay with? This morning, if you're here, you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to come to Jesus Christ. He's inviting you. He's urging you. He's pleading with you to come. Make Him Lord of your life. How's it been working for you? You've been Lord of your life. How's that been working out for you? I'll tell you what. I don't care how good you think you got it. Unless Jesus is the Lord of your life, you're nothing. You're nothing. And you'll amount to nothing. Make Him the Lord of your life. This morning, if you're a believer in Christ and you're willing to turn to Him in repentance, we'll help you by baptizing you into Christ. This morning, we're ready to help you with that. We invite you to come. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're encouraging one another with lessons like this. Stay with God now. Stay with God. That world has nothing to offer you. All those gods they've had to set up. You keep serving the one true God. But we all have those times in our lives when we need the prayers of others and the help of others. And that's what we're here right now. We give you the opportunity to let us know if you have those needs in your life. If we can help you in any way, let us know. But come to the front and do that now as together we stand and sing.